This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Shaoning and Noel Lim. 7:36 in the morning now, Monday the 20th of January, which means in about half an hour we're going to be having the breakfast grill where, Shaoning, you'll be speaking with Tony Lombardo, who's CEO of Lendlease Asia.
Yeah, Lendlease is actually an Australian property and infrastructure company. It has $100 billion Australian dollars projects in the pipeline. It's also famous for buildings like Tate Britain, and Sydney Opera House. And of course, in Malaysia, the TRX, they're involved in TRX because they have a 60% stake in their lifestyle quarter. So I'm going to ask him about that. And also, of course, his expectations for growth in the whole Asian region, how they plan to stay competitive. And because it's not easy times for property companies, even in this region.
Indeed. And if you want to hear more about that, you can tune in after the 8 o'clock news during the breakfast grill. But in the meantime, this morning, let's turn our attention to supermarkets, because for a while, it looked like the UK-based supermarket chain Tesco was all set to sell its 2,000 outlets in Thailand and Malaysia. But those plans may now face a regulatory hurdle. So Tesco's Asia assets, which are estimated to be worth between $7 and $9 billion, were bid on by major Thai retailers owned by local tycoons. But Thailand's Trade Commission has now raised some red flags.
Yes, so because the tycoons themselves, they own substantial assets in that retail space. Like, for example, CP, they own 7-Eleven and Siam Makro. Then there's the other bidder, Central Group. They own a chain of supermarkets. And there's also TCC and PTT who are vying for Tesco's assets. So if any of that group, I think, get the assets, then there may be some red flags on, you know, having a monopoly share.
So to get a more detailed look about the sale of Tesco's Asian assets and the supermarket segment of the British retail industry, this morning we speak to Charles Allen, Global Retail Research Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Thank you for joining us, Charles. Now, Tesco is facing a regulatory hurdle now with respect to its Asian assets. What's your take on this?
Well, I mean, I think as soon as it became clear that the potential purchasers were the other leading food retailers in Thailand, competition was always going to be an issue. I think that Tesco must always have known this, but maybe continued with the strategic review process just to see what would happen and indeed to see what the reaction of the authorities may be and whether it was going to go into a full inquiry. I mean, I think we always know that any 4-into-3 competitive position in grocery is always going to be problematic with competition authorities.
It makes a lot of sense, I think, for Tesco Asia, obviously, to be bought by a competitor. But what other alternatives might Tesco have to sell out?
Well, I mean, I think that's always the problem. I mean, although Tesco did manage to find private equity buyers for its business in Korea, but I mean, it is in food retail, a local buyer in the same industry is always going to be the one that can extract most synergies from the deal and the one for whom it's going to be most attractive and therefore could potentially pay most. But it's equally true that those are the ones who are most like, particularly in a country like Thailand, where there's been a lot of mergers over the last 10 years, those are the ones that are going to be most likely to attract attention from the competition authorities.
And taking a broader look at the retail industry in the UK now, how are the other supermarket players doing?
They've all reported on their Christmas trading, and it's been, well, except for Asda, owned by Walmart, but I think it's been a pretty difficult Christmas for most people, and we've just had the UK retail sales figures, which suggest that, you know, on a macro level, sales haven't been strong. So, I mean, Tesco managed to eke out a small sales increase for its supermarkets over Christmas, but the other, and Sainsbury's increased sales marginally in food, but Morrison's saw a drop. And I think it's very difficult at the moment as the German-owned discounters Aldi and Lidl continue to gain significant market share.
So, Charles, you mentioned Aldi and Lidl. How are traditional supermarkets faring in the face of competition from these discount stores, as well as premium organic outlets like Whole Foods? Can they maintain market share?
they're barely maintaining market share. I mean, Aldi and Lidl are gaining significant market share. I don't think Whole Foods is making much of an impact in the UK, but you never know if it will in the future. But I mean, and margins, I mean, the only way to maintain margins is continuous and heavy cost cutting. And even then, it does seem that there's potential for margins to slide at the moment, because prices just keep becoming lower than they otherwise would be. And sooner or later, that means margin pressure.
Well, taking a broader look at the retail industry in the UK now, how are the other supermarkets doing? And then, but I'm really also interested to know, like, e-commerce, has that changed the landscape for clothing retailers? And is the impact similarly felt amongst supermarket players?
Well, I mean, again, is that, you know, I mean, we've had grocery e-commerce in the UK for more than 20 years now, and it just continues to gain market share. I mean, overall, it's probably somewhere just over 7%, maybe even 8% now, of supermarket sales. But obviously, it's particularly impacts the what you might say is the supermarket large basket shop, because typically, if you go to an online retailer, you want to you offset the delivery charge by making sure you're spending quite a lot of money. So Ocado, which is online only, its average basket size is somewhere over £100, which is more than the typical family spends in a week in the UK. So online continues to make inroads, and it's another thing that contributes to margin pressure for the mainstream supermarkets. Although their online operations do seem to have become profitable now, they're less profitable than the pure supermarket business. And obviously, every sale that takes place outside a supermarket tends to, you know, makes the cost structure of a supermarket more difficult, because you've got fewer sales going through a very similar fixed cost base.
And finally, Charles, what are the trends or developments you'll be paying attention most in this space in the next year or so?
The one in the UK, but I mean, it's a global phenomenon, because we certainly can see it in Thailand and probably Malaysia as well, is obviously the growth of convenience stores. I mean, alongside discount stores, but the convenience channel is definitely growing in the UK, as it is in Thailand. And that is there are all sorts of consumer reasons for this. I mean, smaller family sizes mean smaller purchases, people being more aware of food waste means that they want to buy in smaller quantities and more often, so that you don't have a fridge full of food that you don't eat half of. So I think that the convenience is something that goes alongside online and the growth of discounters as the big trends that we see.
Thank you very much, Charles. And that was Charles Allen of Bloomberg Intelligence in London, giving us his thoughts on the British supermarket sector, because this is something that we've also been keeping an eye on for a while now. The fact that big retailers like Tesco's and Sainsbury's are losing ground towards against the organic players and the discount players. I mean, Aldi has grown from being a mom and pop store to one of the biggest supermarket names in the country.
I think for supermarkets and indeed hypermarkets, I think for them the challenge is finding the right balance cost structure wise between running a physical store and also the online store. And it seems to me they've been spending a lot more resources on the physical store, and maybe they need to bump up on this online sales. But I think another challenge, another competitor, is really food delivery, right? So it's so convenient now and so fast to get food from GrabFood or FoodPanda, that really do people really need to shop these days?
They do shop, but the nature in which they shop has changed, right? So actually the trend, like what he says, is more the smaller shops. And even in Malaysia, we bring this back home, Tesco opened their first 2,000 square feet size in Wang Samaju, I believe. In the past, the government did not allow foreign retailers to open spaces unless they were 3,000 square feet and above. But I think what people want is easy, quick and fast. So, you know, the rise of Speed Mart, 99 Speed Mart, KK Mart have really shown that convenience stores is the new way to shop, because you don't need to buy a whole shopping trolley. Maybe you just need a few items and you don't want to drive all the way to a hypermarket. You just want it around nearby in your neighbourhood.
And that's not a trend limited to Malaysia, because part of the reason why Aldi was successful in the UK is that the average can of baked beans has like 5 different barcodes on it, so that checkout speed is a lot faster than you would get at any other retailer. So the fate of Tesco's Asia assets is still up in the air. That'll be something we'll just have to wait and see. But right now we're heading into a few messages, and then up next we'll be speaking with Ibrahim Sufyan, Program Director over at the Merdeka Centre, on the Kimanis by-election. Be sure to stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.